Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:33 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 25th, and it was another very positive day on Wall Street today. Meanwhile, Europe, having had fireworks yesterday, was quite a bit quieter. Majority of markets were in positive territory, but only just so, whereas the Nasdaq was up an additional almost 1%. Then when we look at the currency markets, there was a clear move downwards in the dollar. The yen has also weakened even faster than the dollar. It is currently trading at 111.13, and that is perhaps the first chart that we should really look at. When we look at the yen, the dollar, and gold, what we're seeing is the pulling back of this risk-off trade. The outcome of the French election has acted as a catalyst for a risk-on environment, particularly in Europe, because of that emphatic break that we had yesterday. The majority of markets up over 3%. But what we see now is that the yen, having strengthened from almost 120 to below 110, is now weakening once more. That we're getting a dynamic move. It's in the region of the trend mean, but it is trading weaker again than that 110 level. And that is acting as a tailwind for the Nikkei. The Nikkei is now trading back above 19,000. It bounced last week from the region of the trend mean, and that 18,000 level followed through on the upside in here this week. And perhaps the most important thing that it has done is that it has broken that short-term progression of lower rally highs. So that is looking increasingly like a failed downside break, and we have quite clear confirmation of support in the region of the trend mean. That is the reason I opened a long position today, and a clear downward dynamic would really be required to question that this isn't going to go higher from here. If we stick with that risk-on, risk-off way of thinking about the market, we're in a risk-on environment. So when you look at the dollar index, it is pulling back. So President Trump is getting his wish. He's getting a weaker dollar. The dollar index is now trading below the trend mean. This is almost the exact inverse of the euro. The euro wasn't able to hold all of its advance yesterday, but it made up for that today. And now this is really looking like a clear break. It is a confirmed failed downside break from the lower side of that range at the beginning of this year. It has held this progression of higher reaction lows, and now it is trading above the trend mean. Obviously, we can see from the chart that this isn't the first time it's been above the trend mean. And in a rangy environment overall, looking at a trend smoothing device isn't perhaps the most advantageous thing to do. But so we can look at the dynamics. And this is clearly the way that we tend to look at gaps in the market as dynamic moves, and this is a dynamic move in the market. So the euro looks like it is going to strengthen additionally from here. Quite whether it is going to be able to sustain a move above 115 is another question entirely. But is it going to get back up towards that level? Well, that is looking like an increasingly likely proposition. Gold prices had been really quite firm, and they were down $13 today, not being able to hold the strong performance that we've had over the last couple of weeks, because some of the risk off buying that has helped to support the gold price since the balance or the turn of the year has ebbed. So we're getting some pause and consolidation in what has been a pretty positive environment for gold prices over the last 6 weeks. That also fed through into silver prices, and silver was down about just less than 30 cents. So it has not held the move to new recovery highs, and it is now pulling back, and this was a dynamic move on the downside. When we look at this environment that we're presented with in the precious metals, it looks like that we're getting this rangy environment, that the downtrend from the 2011 peak has certainly lost momentum, but the medium-term bulls have not yet been able to impose their will emphatically on the market. We're still in a rangy, choppy environment. And in that kind of environment, these precious metals are best bought following pullbacks. I continue to hold platinum. It has not been the best performer on the upside, but neither has it pulled back as sharply as either gold or silver. If the risk-off assets have been pulling back, then gold, the treasury market has also been weaker. And if we look at the long end on the 30-year, this looks like a failed upside break. Just like we saw a failed downside break 6 weeks ago, if this is indeed a failed upside break, well then the potential for a retest of the lower side of that range would now have to be the base case. Something that we've talked about at considerable length in audios over the last 3 and 4 and 6 months has been that if this is indeed the peak in the government bond bull market, which has been the longest running bull market in recent history, then the most profitable strategy that has been working for such a long time, for 35 years, has been to buy the dips. And that strategy has to be seen to fail if we are indeed at an important peak, that people rushing in to buy the dip will lose money. And what we can see on this chart for the 10-year yield is that yields have bounced from the region of the trend mean. The last time they did that was in 2013. It was shortly after the taper tantrum. And a sustained move below that trend mean would now be required to question the supply-dominant environment. That if this is indeed a failed downside break in the yield, then the chances are that over the next 6 or 7 weeks, we're going to see that yield push back up above 2.5%. Now, against that background, the Nasdaq was really quite strong again today. When we look at it on that weekly chart, this is an index which was punctuated by two sharp pullbacks during that 2-year consolidation, but it has really taken off over the last 4 months, and particularly since the presidential election result, with the Trump administration expected to release their plans for what corporate taxes are likely to be, then it is these big Nasdaq companies that are among the greatest potential beneficiaries of lower corporate taxes and the potential that some of their offshore earnings could be brought back with a minimal penalty. And the index is breaking on the upside and in an emphatic manner. But if we go back and look at that weekly chart, this advance now is looking somewhat different to what we have had over the last few years. This is the widest overextension relative to the trend mean that we have seen since, let me scroll down a little bit here, since 2012. And even back then, what we should perhaps do is look at the logarithmic scale chart. But even on the log scale chart, this is a really emphatic move on the upside. The pace of the advance is picking up. There is no evidence that it's over, but what it does suggest is that people are in quite a hurry to get long, and that is something which will contribute to eventual potential medium-term top formation development. That trend ending is the first of the three trend ending signals that we see and in or that we examine in the chart seminar. So this acceleration, and it is only really beginning to accelerate beyond what had looked like a process of consolidation. It is not yet over. It could go on go on further, and it represents a party for the bulls, but it is unsustainable beyond the short to medium term. The S&P 500, which had been still had held this progression of lower rally highs until yesterday, has broken them today, and it is now pushing back up towards its highs. And this has been a pretty modest pullback, reasonably similar to the last two. Larger than the last one, smaller than the one before that. There is still this overextension relative to the trend mean. The pace of the advance has certainly picked up. It is looking increasingly like a market that is picking up pace, and not least because of the promise of corporate tax cuts. This is something that is being priced into the market rapidly, and then the potential is that it will be priced in before it actually takes effect. And this could well be the kind of environment which is a buy the rumor, sell the news kind of thing. When we look at Europe, then it had its fireworks yesterday. It was relatively unchanged in here today. But what we can very clearly see is that it has been rallying in a pretty persistent manner since late last year. It is closing in on the highs from 2015, but perhaps the more important point is that Europe is way behind in terms of the performance of Wall Street. It has got a long way to go before it breaks out. So I don't think that it is too much of a stretch to really say that Europe is probably today where the US was about 4 years ago, and that the likelihood is that Europe will break on the upside, that it has got it represents a catch-up play. And the fact that it is now rallying against a background where the euro is reasonably firm is quite a change. The last time it was able to get up to this level, it was on the back of a substantially weaker currency. And this is, of course, it is assuming that this outperformance can be sustained. That is quite a change. It would suggest that people are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to Europe that this is a region that might actually be able to get its act together if it can rally while the currency is also appreciating. The Chinese market, which had pulled back to the region of the trend mean yesterday, was a little bit steadier, but not in a dynamic fashion. It was only up 5 on that A-share index, and that is a 3,000-point index. The Hong Kong market was up in a more robust manner, bouncing from that 10,000 level on the 8-share index, and it is now still in the lower half of what is a developing 8-year range, and it continues to hold the progression of higher reaction lows, and the 8-share index is among the indices that has got the lowest price earnings ratio of 8.64 and dividend yield of 3.5%, which is pretty respectable. The Nifty index in India was able to break out to new high ground today, and that was against a background where the rupee was really quite firm. That this is an emphatic breakout from a long-term range. Well, it's a 2-year range for the Nifty, but it's a very big move for the rupee, that it has quite clearly found support in the region of that 70 rupee to the dollar, and now trading at 64. It's already had an impressive appreciation. There are a lot of things going right for India at the present moment. When we look at Australia, then the index is creeping back up towards the 6,000 level. It has been able to hold this progression of higher reaction lows, and that was a pretty impressive bounce over the last three sessions from 5,800. And really a sustained move below that level would be required to really question that this isn't going to continue to advance. I think that one of the less appreciated factors regarding the Australian market, I'm not typing particularly well, excuse me. I'm bringing up the bank index, and perhaps the most important thing that it did was break that medium-term progression of lower rally highs at the end of last year, as long as the banking sector is continuing to advance. There are continued questions about the sustainability of the housing market, just how much higher prices it can go, the disparity between Melbourne and Sydney and the rest of the country. These are all significant challenges, and it also represents a significant challenge for the RBA in what they're going to do with interest rates, because they can't really lower them any further, regardless of the challenges that much of the rest of the country has relative to the surging house prices that you have in the big conurbations. So the banking sector, not only because it represents a significant weighting in the ASX 200, is really worth keeping an eye on, and as long as it is going higher, there's probably not a great deal to worry about. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.